about the end times. And one of the examples that he gave was about the days of Lot. And of course, if you know that story, it's really about Lot and his family. They were living where they should not have been. And God, in his mercy, goes and tries to rescue them. But Lot's wife, she looks back and she's turned into a pillar of salt. So turn me to Luke 17, verse 28. And this is Jesus talking about the days of Lot. So my message this morning is called Remember Lot. Not Lot's wife, but Remember Lot. So verse 28 reads, "Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, and they built." Verse 29. "But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so it will be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed." And then verse 32 says, "Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it." Amen? So on the surface, that message is simple. God is going to judge the world just like he did Sodom for their wickedness and their sins, and don't be like Lot's wife. Now, while those two things are true, I do believe that there's more to the story that we often miss. So what do we know about Lot? Lot, of course, was the cousin of Abraham. Lot was with Abraham from day one. Right? Lot was at every single altar that Abraham built. Lot saw how God blessed Abraham's life. And the scripture even says this, Lot was righteous. And also, Lot was rich as well. In fact, Lot and Abraham, they were so rich that they actually needed more space. So one day, Abraham comes to Lot and says, "Hey, we have too much cattle, too much flock, so let's both go our separate ways." So in Genesis 13, verse 9, Abraham says to Lot, "Please separate from me. If you take the left, then I will go right. Or if you go to the right, then I will go to the left." And Lot lifted up his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as you go toward Zoar. Verse 11, "Then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other." So on the surface, it looks like Lot simply just left his cousin. But if you know who Abraham is not just a cousin. Abraham is not just my cousin or your cousin. Abraham represented the promises and the blessings of God. So Abraham represented the word of God. And Abraham was a type and shadow of Christ, right? So Lot leaving Abraham, he just didn't leave his cousin in the flesh. He left the very presence, the very word of God. And Lot chose for himself. See, as Lot followed Abraham, Lot was being blessed. Just like as we follow Christ, we're blessed, right? So Lot was a picture of someone who was saved by grace. Lot didn't really have to do much. Lot just said, "Okay, my cousin is being blessed. I'll go where he's going," right? Just like if we stay in the word and follow Christ, we are blessed as well. Because truly, no man is really blessed. The word of God is blessed. If we follow that word, then we're blessed as well. So Lot was a picture of somebody that was saved by grace. But Lot made a critical error by leaving or distancing himself from the word of God, which is represented by his cousin Abraham. But understand this. The scripture still says that Lot was righteous. So Lot was still justified, right? So just like Pastor preached about this morning, we are justified in Christ once we put our faith in Christ. Now, that doesn't mean that we can do whatever we want to do, right? So just because you are justified doesn't mean that there isn't a way you have to live. So Lot was justified. He was saved by grace. He was following his cousin who was following the word of God. But Lot distanced himself from his cousin. He distanced himself from the word of God. And in the same vein, sometimes you and I, we can make choices that distance ourselves from the word of God. We can do things that, though we are still justified because of what Christ did on the cross, we can distance ourselves from the government, which is just the word of God, right? Because when God speaks, God is not like you and I. He doesn't talk just to talk, right? God speaks so that what he says happens. So God's word is governmental, right? Just like justified is a governmental term. So Lot separated himself from the government of God. He chose for himself. He looked up and saw, oh man, that land over there is luscious and it's green and it looks like Egypt when we were down there, and I bet I could grow crops and do this and do that. So Lot pondered in his mind. He saw and he knew that, okay, my cousin is already being blessed by this God that he's following. So let me choose for myself. Let me go where I can make the most for myself. And in doing so, he distanced himself from the word of God. So this morning, I want to look at three signs that a justified believer who puts their faith in Christ has distanced themselves from the word of God. Because once again, we are saved by faith, not by works. None of us can earn what Christ did. But at the same time, because you're saved, God has called us up to live to a standard, and his Holy Spirit will help us live at that standard. But the truth is this. Once again, we can live in such a way that we are separated from the government, from the very words of God. So these are three signs that a justified man or woman of God who is saved by what Christ did on the cross has put distance between himself and the word of God. Now, keep in mind, right, these things or these signs aren't evident on day one, right? Because if you gained 10 pounds the day you ate a Big Mac, you wouldn't eat that Big Mac, right? But because it takes time, you eat bad. So in the same vein, these signs that follow someone that has distanced themselves from the word of God, they're not evident on day one. It takes time. So Lot, once again, he separated himself from Abraham, from the word of God. And 10 to 15 years later, these signs begin to show up in the life of Lot. So one day, Lot is sitting at the gate of the town called Sodom, and he sees two angels, and they're coming with a word for him. So turn with me to Genesis 19, and we'll read from verse 1 on down. And verse 1 says, Now the two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, "Hear now, my lords, please turn into your servant's house and spend the night, and wash your feet, Then you may rise early and go on your way. And they said, no, but we will spend the night in the open square. So the first sign that a justified believer that is saved by grace through faith, has distanced themselves from the word of God is that they become too invested in the world. Now, you might have missed a key subtle detail in this text. So please put verse 2 back on the screen. And verse 2 says, and he said, hear now, my lords, please turn into your servant's house. Your servant's house. So go with me to Genesis 13, verse 12. And in Genesis 13, verse 12, we see, right, that the pattern that God gave Abraham was, you build altars but pitch tents. You're not supposed to have an actual house because you are called a sojourner. You are someone who is seeking the promised land. So in Genesis 13, 12, it says this, Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. But as Lot spent year after year after year in Sodom, he forgot the way of the altar. He didn't build one. Instead, he built his own house. He built his own thing. He started doing his own thing. As Jesus said in Luke 17, in the days of Lot, they were eating, drinking, building, planting, sowing, and doing all kinds of work of the flesh. So Lot had become invested in the world. He forgot that the way of every true man and woman of God of faith is that you cannot be too invested in the world. When God says move, you need to move. And that is why Abraham lived a life where he built altars, right? And an altar is just a place of worship, of service, right? And that was the only permanent thing that Abraham truly had in his life. His tent. Hey, once God said move, hey guys, pack it up, let's go. But 10 years had gone by and Lot had forgotten the way of the altar. And he had become too invested in the world. And oftentimes we do the same thing as well. When we distance ourselves from the word, we start to identify ourselves by the world and the things that we have and how well we're doing in our jobs and how nice our kids are and how, you know, all these things are looking good. And those are not bad, bad things, right? But when God called Abraham, he said, leave your land, leave your family, leave your father's house, and I will bless you. I will show you. I want to be your identity. So if we are truly justified by what Jesus did on the cross, it's not just a one-time thing. Jesus truly wants to be our identity. So we must, as Lot did not do, make sure that we are not becoming identified by the world and the things that we have in the world. Amen? The second sign that a justified believer has distanced themselves from the word of God is that we compromise. And I'll call this, we play nice with the world. But be sure, if you play nice with the world or if you compromise with the world, the Christian will always be the one that ends up looking like a fool. And it's interesting because I thought about the BET Awards that just went down. And Kirk Franklin, who is a gospel artist, if you want to call him that, he's sitting in the crowd and a worldly comedian is making fun of him because he has played the fool. Because he has done very lukewarm things, right? So when you try to be nice with the world, when you're trying to act like the world, rest assured that you and I, as Christians, we will play the fool. And we see this here in verse 4 of Genesis 19. So the angels finally said yes to staying with Lot for the night. And verse 4 says, "Now before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both old and young, all the people from every quarter surrounded the house. And they called to Lot and said to him, 'Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may know them carnally.'" So they wanted to give him a fruit basket and welcome them to know. We all know what they were trying to do, right? So verse 6 says this. "So Lot went out to them through the doorway, shut the door behind him, and said, 'Please, my brethren, do not do so wickedly. See now, I have two daughters, and you may do to them as you wish. Only do nothing to these men, since this is the reason they have come under the shadow of my roof.'" So Lot was trying to find a middle ground. Like, hey, I know you guys want to do this sick and depraved thing, but do this less sick and depraved thing, right? Lot was trying to find a middle ground, as we all in this room have done at some time. And that's the thing about this, is that we are justified, we are saved by grace through faith, but sometimes we compromise. Sometimes we don't want to be seen as that extra holy Christian that doesn't drink. So we say things like, hey, I'm not like those Christians that never has a drink. I'm not like those Christians who don't know how to have just a little bit of fun, right? And we compromise because we're trying to play nice. We're trying to find this middle ground. But Lot was trying to play nice with something that God had already judged. Think about that. God had already judged this thing, and God was about to rain fire down from heaven. And Lot was like, well, you know, yeah, I know you're about to go to hell, so don't kill him, just kind of slap him. Like, Lot was trying to find a middle ground. For whatever reason, I don't know, but what I do know is that what we allow in the streets will eventually come knocking on our doors. What you put up with, like, oh yeah, you know, I know. And this is going to sound harsh, but for many years, the church let men that sleep with men lead their choir. Because, hey, those brothers can sing well, right? But because we just kind of looked the other way year after year after year, now we see that what we let in the streets has knocked on our doors, and for some of us, has come into our homes. So when we compromise, when we try to find a middle ground with something that God has already judged, it is not going to end well. And once again, Lot was justified. Lot was not someone that was unsaved. Lot was justified. The Bible calls him righteous, so I call him righteous as well, right? So Lot was saved. But even saved men like you and I can justify things that we should not. So sign number 3 that a justified believer has distanced themselves from the Word of God is that we linger or are passive when God says move. We become passive. We don't move as quick as we ought to move when God is saying, hey, move. So the two angels, they say, Lot, all right, we need to move you out of this city. God is about to rain fire down on this city. And Lot is dragging his feet. Lot is trying to tell his daughter's husbands to be, but the husbands to be, they're like, you know, they don't really think Lot is right in the head. And then Lot is, you know, like trying to, I'm guessing he's trying to gather his stuff. And verse 16 says this. And while he lingered, even though the angels just came and told him, like, look, this city is about to blow up. It says, while he lingered, the man took hold of his hand and his wife's hand and the hands of his two daughters. And the Lord, being merciful to him, they brought him out and set him outside of the city. This is a picture of God's grace. Lot is lingering. He's taking his time. The city is about to blow up. And it says, the Lord being merciful to him. How many times has the Lord been merciful to just me? When I have lingered, hey, Ike, stop touching that thing. Stop going to that site. You know better. I've slapped your hand before. Okay. And yet he's just merciful day after day, breath after breath, still calling me son, still calling me his, still saying, hey, I have a future for you, right? So God was being merciful to him, but Lot lingered. Because once again, when we have distanced ourselves from the word of God, we don't have what I would call spiritual spider senses. Our spider senses are now dull, right? God is saying, hey, don't do that. And we're like, yeah, but I've done it before and nothing happened. I've played with it before and I just quit when I felt like it. But I heard something very good one time, and I've seen it happen in my life. If you do something long enough, a spirit will help you keep doing it. So if you start something, it might be small, but rest assured, at some point, you will not be able to stop that thing. So Lot lingered, just like you and I at times have lingered. Because when we put distance between ourselves and the word of God, and even though you might be here at church, right? If you have lingered for so long, it almost becomes impossible to respond. I've been there. Whereas, like, you know that what the preacher on stage is saying is right, is truth. But you simply just can't get your mind to tell your feet to do it. So Lot was so far gone from the word of God that even though he knew destruction was coming, he lingered. So what is the point of all this? What is the point of these three signs that a justified, saved believer can distance themselves from the word of God? What is the point? Why must we remember Lot? And this is the question I kept on asking myself while prepping for this sermon. And the Lord put it on my heart because families pay the price. When a man distances himself from the word of God, families pay the price. And it doesn't happen overnight, but 10 to 15 years down the line, on the day that the city was about to be destroyed, something had built up in the heart of Lot's wife. And Lot had no clue. The scripture calls Lot righteous, but something had built up in the heart of the woman that he laid next to every single night, to the point where when it came time to go, Lot was actually going and she looked back. So we can become so distant from the word of God that we have no clue what God is doing. We have no clue what is happening in our own house. Turn with me to verse 31 of Genesis chapter 19. So not only did Lot's wife look back, but Lot's daughters paid the price as well. And it says this, now the firstborn said to the younger. So this is after Lot and his kids now, because, you know, his wife is gone. Lot and his kids had been saved and taken to a mountainside cave-like place, right? And it says this, "Now the firstborn said to the younger, our father Lot is old, and there is no man on earth to come into us as is the custom of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve the lineage of their father." So they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he did not know when she lay down or when she arose. And the following verses say that the younger daughter did that as well. So Lot's daughters were saved from Sodom, but somehow they had been indoctrinated by the ways of Sodom. So when we distance ourselves from the word of God, not only do we become too invested, not only do we compromise, not only do we linger, but families pay the price. Lot's wife was lost just like that. And something happened to Lot's children where they learned that, oh, well, this is what they do in Sodom, right? They do wicked, strange things. So since we don't have any way to have kids, let's do that same thing too. So Lot was so far removed from Abraham, which represented the word of God, that even though the city he was living in was about to be judged, he had no clue. God was having conversations with Abraham, which is his people, saying, I'm about to judge this world. Lot had no clue. His wife had fallen in love with the world. Lot had no clue. His children had picked up some strange ways, and Lot had no clue. You know, a pastor that I always watch says this, God starts with men, but God is after generations and nations. God is after family. God uses families. This church here was started by a family, right? So today, I believe that God wants to begin to restore families. Because oftentimes we speak about this end time revival that is coming, and we make much of it. We are praying about it. But I do believe, and this is just me talking to the men right now, I do believe that there is no end time revival unless men return back to the word of God. Because as a man goes, the family will go. That's just how God has it. I didn't make it up. So I think back to 2019. My wife and I, we went to a conference, and the man of God, he prophesied to me, and he was like, your wife has been ready, but you're not. And it hit me, because I'm like, man, like, I'm stopping what God wants to do, not just in my life, but in her life. And when a man has distanced himself from the word of God, families will pay the price. Women pay the price. Children pay the price, as we see in the life of Lot. In fact, I even think about the pastor of this church. I bet he had no clue how God would use his wife and his daughter, and now me, his son. He simply obeyed God, and God uses families. When a man says yes to God, when a man says, yes, I'm going to pull up to the word of God and sit there and read it and read it and read it until it begins to change me, God will always honor that and use that man in ways that he could never imagine. Because as we live in these last days, it's easy to think that what your family needs is a bigger house, better stuff, more ways to feel safe. But as the scripture has shown us, the word of God is the main and truly the only protection that a family needs in this last days. Because what good is wealth if it's about to rain fire and brimstone? What good is that huge house? What good is that nice car if at any moment God, Jesus, can come back and you don't know the salvation of your spouse? And you're not sure if your kids are right with God. So God wants to restore families. And it starts with the man. Just like Lot made the choice to go where he shouldn't have gone, we, men and women, we can simply make the choice to go back. Because once again, we are justified by faith. We have been saved. We are saved. But even though we are justified, we can still live in such a way where we distance ourselves from the Word of God and open ourselves to so much like Lot did. Amen? Amen. Brother Corey, can you show me this graphic, please? So I want to share something real quick that I saw and we'll close. In Luke 17, which I read at the start, verse 28. In the physical, this is what Jesus said. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. So that is what you could physically see. And Jesus is saying that. But the spiritual, in Genesis 18, 20 to 21, this is pre-incarnate Jesus talking to Abraham. And it says, and the Lord said, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grave. So in the physical, they were drinking, they were buying, they were selling, they were planting, and they were building. But in the spiritual, God heard a cry. God heard a cry. And I do believe that that's the same now. We live in a world where many people are building their own homes, building their own things, doing their own thing. But I'm pretty sure if you're paying attention, you hear that cry. And Jesus is getting ready to come back. So we have a choice to make. Do we keep on going the way of Lot? Though we are justified and saved, but do we keep on going the way of Lot and doing what we want to do, distancing ourselves from the Word of God? Or do we go back and simply say, Lord, I'm sorry. You have saved me. I am yours. Help me to actually walk this thing out. Because once again, as Pastor said, we have been justified. No one can condemn you. This is not a message of condemnation, but this is a message that says it's okay to go back. It's okay to say, Lord, I missed it back there, but I'm coming home. Amen? Amen. So if you would please just bow your heads and you know where you're at with the Lord. But let's just take a moment just to search our own hearts and see, just examine and see if there are any ways that we have distanced ourselves from the Word. If there's any way that we have distanced ourselves from the government of God. Because though we are justified, we can live in such a way where we put ourselves in harm's way. So Father, we just thank you this morning for this word. We thank you because just like you did with Lot, you are patient, you were kind. You have come multiple times and you have mercy on us. You love us. You give us unctions and leadings that, hey, don't do that, son. I love you. And even when we mess up, you still sent your son to die for us. So Father, we thank you because we are justified. But this morning we are asking, Lord, that if there's any compromise, if there's any space between us and your word, Father, help us to close that space. Help us to pull in close. Help us to spend time with you. Help us not to resist your government, Father. When you speak, help us to be obedient. Help us to simply say yes to you. Help us not to be far from your word. And Father, open our eyes this morning, because what Lot saw was planting and building and drinking and all these things. But in the spirit, there is a cry. In the spirit, there's a voice that is going out saying, be ready. The Lord is coming back. There's a voice that is going out saying, get your house in order. Get right with your spouse. Get right with your kids, because God is coming back. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for that voice. We thank you because you are waking up your people, Father. We thank you because you are calling us to a place of prayer, to a place of intercession, to a place where we can, like Abraham, cry out for Lot. Because Abraham was only saved because Lot was only saved because Abraham cried out. So Father, help us this morning to hear that cry, to see in the spirit, to see with our spiritual eyes, not the flesh, Lord. Help us not to measure this world by what we see, but help us to measure by the truth. Oh, Father, we just thank you this morning. We honor you. We give you all praise. We thank you because you are patient with us and you are an on-time God. We thank you for the message, Lord. We thank you because this is not condemnation, but this is truth. This is your truth, that we ought to be ready and we ought to get our houses in order. Amen.
Father God, we thank you so much for the message this morning. We thank you for the message that you are sending for us, the first service and the second service. It was truly confirmation. You want us to turn toward you, God. You want us to get to know you better. You want us to get in your word and stay in your word. We will mess up as we do. But God, because Jesus went on that cross for whatever we did, he said, I died for that. Whatever it is that we did is not so bad that if we go to him, he will tell us that he has forgiven us and we can start all over. So Father God, I just thank you for the messages this morning. And I pray that as we leave here, God, that we will want to just run home and get into your word and stay in your word, because you speak to us through your word. And I thank you for that, God. I pray this prayer in Jesus' most precious and holy name. Amen and amen. We thank you all for coming out this morning. And for those of you online, thank you for joining us as well. If you hadn't had a chance to give, we ask that you do that and help us with uplifting and building of the kingdom. And also, August the 3rd, we're going to have, it's called Bring Your People. So bring your people out with you to church. And as I said in the first service, it doesn't have to be just people that you know. It could be people that, they could be people that you know that you don't even like. Because you can bring them and something can be said and it may hit their heart and they can start changing their ways. So bring the people, bring them all out. And come out as from both services, and you come in and you invite them and you come also. And the invite cards for that, it's on the wall outside in the lobby. Thank you, and you guys have a great rest of the week, and you are dismissed.